Please be seated for our first reading.
The reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and can be found on page 949 in the Pew Bible. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This reading to be found on page 807 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that by the end of this sermon, by the end of this service, by the end of this Sunday, we may all become better servants of Christ the King. Amen. Amen. The next 15 or so minutes, despite my subject, is not, I repeat, not a party political broadcast. Having said that, do you remember I once told you of the story of a certain vicar who nevertheless always sought to reveal his political allegiance after each general election? If the Tories had a majority, he chose, "Now thank we all our God." If Labour prevailed, "O God, our help in ages past." If the Lib Dems did well, "God moves in a mysterious way." Politics has been very much in the air of recent days, and will be, I suspect, until the general election. Our gospel reading had political overtones. Not party political, but political nevertheless. My dictionary at home, never very far from my side, says that politics is the winning and using of power to govern society. That's short and to the point. In one word, politics is all about governance. Governance. Bringing about the kind of situation, to use the words of Jesus in the gospel, where the hungry are fed, the ill-clad, clothed, thirsty, have their thirst quenched, and the shut-ins are visited. I say shut-ins. The actual word I read was those in prison. When did you last do a prison visit? But you can actually be in prison in your own homes, in Locksheath and Park Gate. If you're elderly and infirm, a situation where a personal visit is nearly always welcome. Now, what I'm trying to do is to point out that the words of Jesus in Matthew 25 can be, and often are, interpreted personally, one-to-one. After a gospel like that, we might all want to have a look at our contribution to the Basics Bank. Review our donation to WaterAid. Set aside a bit more time for parish visiting, that sort of thing. And that is fine and good and excellent. Let's all keep it up. But, in addition, if we take the words of Jesus in context, the episode begins with the words, "All the nations will be gathered before him." All the nations. And if you were reading from the Pew Bible as I read the Gospel, that section in Matthew 25 is headed, "The Judgment of the Nations." In other words, if nowhere else in the New Testament, we read here of God's concern, not just for individual people, but for the nations, of which those individuals are an integral part. From the book of Genesis through to the book of Revelation in our Bibles, a close reading of the scriptures reveals a God not just wanting men and women and children to turn to him and to walk in his way, but nations as well to come to know him and to submit to his just and gentle rule. All nations, this nation, our nation. On my bookshelves at home is a small, well-thumbed volume entitled Your God is Too Small. You may have come across it. It must be 50 or 60 years old since it was first written by J.B. Phillips of Bible translation fame. Your God is too small. And I think our God is too small if we simply think in terms of Christianity as being just an individual's one-to-one relationship with God through Jesus and nothing more. It is that, of course, one-to-one. And that's probably why most of us are in church this morning at a place of Christian worship, because at some time in the past, or maybe it is still an ongoing process, for sometime in the past, we saw Jesus as the only person who ever lived who was utterly unique. God's revelation of himself as sacrificial love, not only on the cross as our crucified Savior, but still alive today and with us, our everyday friend. And we saw him, or are in the process of seeing him, taking him as our Lord personally. And that's why we're here. That's where the Christian faith begins, but it is not where the Christian faith ends, if we take today's gospel seriously. Faith is personal. Faith ought to be national. I say national, I mean, of course, via the family, the neighborhood, the local community, the town, the city, up to the nation. Came across this sentence the other day. God shrinkers, would put the whole weight of discipleship on a one-to-one relationship with God, leaving the massive principalities and powers to shape their way without prophetic challenge. Needs a bit of thought, that long sentence, but I'm not going to repeat it. All I say was, it points out that a lot of us maybe are God shrinkers on that definition. Our concept of God is too small. But no, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his Son Jesus, as we are reminded today, is Christ the King. And what do kings do? Monarchs do? They reign over countries. In other words, there is a global aspect of the Christian faith which we often neglect to our cost. And any nation, quite apart from individuals, any nation that fails to meet certain moral, ethical standards, I believe, stands, the Bible says so, stands under the judgment of God. Now, this is a big subject. And we all might say, well, this is out of our hands, state of the nation. But look at it this way. Three things occurred to me this last week where, as individuals, you and I might indeed put this on our agenda, the state of the nation. Here are three P's in my pod. P, we can pray as Christians, knowing, believing that prayer changes things.
big things as well as small things, national things as well as personal concerns. I looked round the congregation with care before this next sentence. Here it comes. Some of us remember during World War II, there were national days of prayer. I remember them, called by the archbishops and the churches, supported by the government, at least one of which, these national days of prayer, was reckoned, I recall, to have played a significant part in the turning of the tide of conflict at one particular juncture. We can pray for our nation. Days of national prayer today, part of me says, forget it. But as I was shaving this morning, I thought this. What about any day, every day, a million Christians, and there are a million active Christians or more in our country today, what about a million Christians every morning praying about the news headlines in their daily paper? A million Christians doing that sounds to me a bit like a national day of prayer. Every day. What a thought. For the nation, we can pray. Secondly, about the nation, my second P, we may protest. I found it when I wrote this sermon a couple of days ago. Rather odd, me writing that word. I am not a protester at heart. But I use the word because these days you can protest in a wide variety of ways, I gather. Where I would use pen and paper and envelopes and a postage stamp, others would text or tweet it. I got those words right, I think. Okay, we can protest. Protest about what? Well, protest whenever we see unhelpful, unlawful, ungodly things being decided, done, and delivered from on high. Unhelpful, unlawful, ungodly things being decided, done, and delivered from on high. Each situation will be different. But any protest, thinking about it, might declare at its heart, not in my name. Four simple words of one syllable, but I reckon they are powerful words, the more you think about it. A text, a letter, a phone call, this, that, or the other, but not in my name as a Christian. Do we pray as we should? Do we protest as we should? Thirdly, do we proffer ourselves as we should? Proffer. Do we put ourselves forward? Do we proffer our services in whatever field we might have some qualification or special knowledge? I jot down three. In the realm of education, much in the headlines these days. Vital part to be a school governor. In the realm of education, in the realm of health, always in our headlines. What about service on one of the local health agencies or committees where decisions are taken for good or for ill? And even maybe politics itself, so that we are there on the spot where decisions are made and we're given a voice and a vote to make those decisions good and wholesome. In a parish where I was vicar once, a young man, a young Christian man, knew for sure that God wanted him to exercise an influence and spent his life in trades unionism. So for him, university, a good degree, and the next step, well, just as I left the parish, Robert had begun his work with the local authority on the dust carts as a bin man. He clearly wanted to influence the trade unions of this country and to work his way up from the bottom in order to give his vocation, he used the word vocation, credibility. He believed he was called by God, as some are called to do more spiritual things. Not Robert, trade unionism. Pray, protest, proffer. Three suggested personal, individual ways of seeking to help ensure that our nation does not stand condemned under the judgment of God. Backed up, of course, always by the evidence of our daily lives, that they are indeed indwelt by Jesus Christ. So that wherever we go, whatever we do or say, it is clear to others that our deepest allegiance belongs, in fact, to another world, reigned over by another king. Let this silence continue, please, as we respond to God's word preached. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.